Our first storyteller, Olivia Niossi, grew up in Oregon with hippie fish scientists on one side of her family and a rural homestead ranchers on the other. As wildflowers, drought, endangered fish, and tense family gatherings started to hit closer to home, Olivia left. She left to study environmental science at Loyola University in Chicago, and Olivia now works as an ACES naturalist and lives at the Cato Center at Toklat. And if you haven't been to Toklat, I'm sure after hearing this story, you're going to need to ask for directions. Toklat was built in 1948 by Stuart and Isabel Mace, passionate craftsmen, women, foodies, and conservationists. If you haven't been, she, like I, encourages you to come up and take a nature tour with her and hear all about how the Mace family has impacted the Roaring Fork Valley. Let's make a lot of noise for Olivia, our first storyteller. Oh, oh!
So one July evening at my new home, Toklat, we hosted a fire and invited heroes in the art and the environmental community of the Roaring Fork Valley up to celebrate and get to know Toklat legend Eddie Running Wolf. Eddie is an amazingly talented wood carver and painter, and his story kind of started at Toklat. Back when he was about my age, early 20s, Stuart found him and took him to Toklat, where he had him under his wing, and he helped challenge and push Eddie to perfect his art. Eddie told how Stuart Mace never really gave him a full thumbs up. He was always critical, and that constant criticism and constant customers is what helped Eddie help find his voice through his art. Eventually, Eddie got to the point where Stuart Mace was giving him his most prized woods, endangered wood all the way from Haiti, big maple burls from a family that lived off a school bus. Eddie was so grateful to Toklat and the Mace family for helping him. At this fire, the other people, those other heroes, shared similar sentiments to Eddie on how the Toklat had helped them in their great careers. Tom and Jody Cardamone were there, and they told how Stuart Mace's daring charisma helped encourage them to take risks with ACES in its early years. Dale Will talked about how he battled to protect the Ryan parcel just next door to Toklat, and in doing so, ensured that the Upper Castle Creek Valley would be safe from further development. Elena, a master weaver from Oaxaca, Mexico, talked about how much her village has benefited from selling rugs at Toklat for over 30 years. All of these people had accomplished so much, and all of them were sharing how this building that I now called home had been so instrumental in their great careers. And then there was me. I had lived there for 1 month and 1 week, and I gave free 45-minute nature tours on top of Aspen Mountain. So, yeah. I felt pretty out of place, it's fair to say. But, you know, it's interesting. Everyone that has ever come to Toklat and has been touched by that place and remembers their experience with immaculate detail. They will come to me and they will tell me a 2 minute to 2 hour story about that one time when they were 10 and Stuart took them on the dog sleds and they had really good food in the 60s. And there's one detail that everyone remembers and everyone asks me about, and that question is, are the hanging tables still there? And the answer is yes, they're still there. I have breakfast and dinner there every day. I've gotten pretty good at cards on them too. And they're hanging tables. And they're hanging tables because Stuart Mace brought them back from Alaska because they were handy against two things. One, mice, which we have a lot of up at the Cato Center at Toklat, especially right now. And they're really easy to take down and tuck away in tight spaces. And that's because they're just thin pieces of wood with large metal rods that hang on big nails that come out of the beams of Toklat. But I didn't get a taste of their magic that everyone remembered until that night at the fire. We came inside. Elena made homemade enchiladas. She'd made me drive all the way down to Carbondale to get fresh corn tortillas and come to Rock Bottom to get fresh chicken. Ooh, don't turn down Elena's enchiladas ever. They were so good. The first 20 minutes inside, the only thing you could hear was people scraping the enchilada off the plate to get as much off of that plate and into their mouth as they possibly could. But once we were all full, we kind of played a game like musical chairs. We sat around and had more casual one-on-one conversations with each other. And these heroes were asking me what my dreams were and what my story was. And all of a sudden, I felt this really weird feeling wash over me. And I no longer felt out of place. I felt like I belonged there. Aw. After this dinner, Eddie Running Wolf added me as a friend on Facebook, and we kept in touch, liking and commenting on my adventures and his art. And this made it really easy when he came in town in the winter to help us nature nerds curate the beautiful gallery that was in our home. And he really made me feel like I did belong in that cool I Was Changed by Tokwot club. Being in that club, it made me really love the place and the places around it. I started to love and care for the place so much that this past March and April, I made an Ashcroft Neighborhood Watch. Yeah. When lockdown came, Upper Castle Creek became just this lawless place. There were dogs running around, no owner in sight, chasing all the foxes and the ground squirrels that were popping up and down. There were snowmobiles ripping up and down the mountains. And on several occasions, I saw different elderly women poop next to my car. It was crazy, and I had to protect this place. So I made a homemade name tag. And I grabbed my lawn chair, and I sat up on the road closed sign up at mile 11 of Castle Creek Road, and I talked to people. I asked them how they were doing. Oh, what do you think summer's gonna look like? This will be over, right? Where are you going skiing? What are you up to? And we just connected. And by talking and connecting, I restored some peace and community up there. And it felt really good. And thank you. Forming a neighborhood watch is pretty silly, but it was me taking a local action to protect a place that I had fallen in love with. And I fell in love with that place because of Eddie's story and because Eddie made me feel like I belonged there. When I heard that Eddie Running Wolf passed away from COVID-19 on August 5th, I promised that I would continue to share his story and my own story so that others can feel connected and like they belong. Because if there's one thing I've learned, that my expensive conservation biology degree didn't teach me about climate change, it's that we need story for climate action. We need to feel connection. We need to love a place if we're going to be called to protect it. And the hardest part about climate change is we need more than little local actions and local leaders. We need global action and global leaders. And that's going to take some really powerful stories and really powerful mentors. Thank you.